Calvin, before we get into the specifics of your new book, I think it's very interesting as a Black Republican in the city of Philadelphia. Of course, with President Trump in the past election, we saw a growing number of African-American voters, other minorities, Hispanics, etc., migrating to the Republican side of the fold. But when you began, that certainly wasn't the case. So how did you even begin to get involved in Republican politics in the city of Philadelphia?
Almost five decades ago, when I was first registering my party affiliation, my mother was a staunch Republican. My family were staunch Republicans. She had leadership from ward leaders that were staunch Republicans, and they took me under their wings at that time and kind of showed me the rope. But they also said, you know, look at the environment in which we live in. And back then, I didn't equate it to being a contrarian. I didn't realize that the status quo were Democrats up to that point after 1952, when the Republicans controlled the city of Philadelphia. But as I looked at it, and then as I look in retrospect, I was a contrarian then because I was railing against the status quo to help our community. And that was kind of how my first indoctrination into the Republican Party, into politics in general, and Republican Party specifically. And it all started from my base, which was my immediate family.
How, as you grew up, as you became an adult and moved through your life, which has now spanned a number of decades, Calvin, why is it you've stuck with the Republican Party? So you had a family background that got you there, but you not only stayed but became a leader in the effort. Why is that?
I looked at the values that the Republican Party offered, and their values aligned with the values that I grew up with, and they aligned with the values of the Black community, even though the Black community is not aware to a great extent of what the Republican Party has to offer. And so my mission in life was to work with the party and the community to bring an option, an alternative. Because when you look at what the Democrat Party has done, and certainly now it's over 70 years of control of the city of Philadelphia, and then my five decades, things have gotten markedly worse in the Black community and in general the minority community. And so how do you change that? How do you affect change? And so through the Republican Party, I've been able to help manipulate and maneuver results in the community. And as you rightfully pointed out, that from 2016 to now, we have had a precipitous increase in the Black vote for the Republican Party, because the Republican Party is doing what it has to do to attract that umbrella of minority individuals into the party. So that's kind of why I stuck to it, because I think that there's some value, and that value either is an option or the value comes from the fact that they have strong leadership. And certainly when President Trump or candidate Trump became the president, he further exemplified the values particularly needed in the African-American community or the Black community.
I would imagine, since conservatives in general tend to have to deal with a lot of attacks, personal attacks, as well as political attacks, harassment, being, first of all, a Republican in a heavily Democrat city, that had to be even more difficult. Being a Black Republican in a heavily Democrat city had to make it even more difficult. What sort of challenges did you face? Did you face attacks and discrimination as a result of your affiliation?
Oh, absolutely. But you take those on as opportunities. As I present what the Republican Party, what conservatives offer to communities, right? Then they start to look at those as options, right? And so I turn those challenges into opportunities. And yes, there's some some hits along the way. And in 2016, as you may know, I was one of the media surrogates for candidate Donald Trump. I spoke to about 75 interviews around the country, in the city, as well as the state. And I talked about what the Black community needs, which they already knew, to overcome, you know, the economic morass and other issues, and that Donald Trump was the person that was going to bring economic sanity to our community. And no one believed it until they saw it in 2017, 18, 19, and then right before the Chinese communist pandemic in 2020. So I've turned aggressors into supporters. And the party, as long as it continues along the lines of working and embracing and engaging, I think they're going to continue to achieve success within every community, including the Black community.
We are talking with Kelvin Tucker, who is author of the book Requiem of a Contrarian, a Black Republican in the Urban Jungle. And Kelvin, tell us a little bit about the book. What is the main theme of it? What points are you trying to get across?
Well, one, I just wanted to, you know, give an unapologetic reflection of nearly five decades navigating the urban political landscape as a Black Republican. You know, it hasn't been easy, but again, as I noted before, there are opportunities out there. And as long as I can produce results in the Black community from the Republican Party as an alternative party, then I believe there's continued value, and it's going to be very important as we move into 2026 and 2028 and trying to reelect Congress and elect a new president. So we need to continue engagement in all communities, including the Black community.
In your book, as you look back over some of the sort of the pivot points of your career as a Republican leader, what stands out? Does something like the Reagan Revolution stand out? Some of the riots that we sustained in 2020, what stands out as particular points of interest for you in your career?
Yeah, well, all of those things shaped my thinking about politics, about the geo-local political environment in which we live, you know, as you indicated, the riots, the crack and cocaine epidemic in the city of Philadelphia, the MOVE bombings that not only shook Philadelphia and the Commonwealth, but it shook the nation, that a city would bomb or destroy 61 houses in an urban area and kill 11 kids. That's traumatic to a nation, to a city, to a people. And so, you know, we have to rectify those things on a local basis. And that, you know, I'm living through that because that was less than probably 5 miles from where I live, where I grew up. And you know, that's, again, that's something you think about as you live your life, and it shapes your ongoing opinion about how do you improve and how do you help make better decisions. But the way you do that is you have alternatives. You have, you know, the status quo says one thing, and then the contrarians is kind of a buy-sell proposition, that while the status quo says buy, the contrarian says sell. So you present an option for people to think about and not get marred in, you know, one way of thinking.
Kelvin, not only were you a leader in Philadelphia, but you also moved up the ranks of the state Republican Party. How did you come to be a statewide leader in the party?
That's an interesting proposition. I guess I exemplified leadership throughout my tenure in this party. And when 2017 rolled around, and a friend of mine, the former chairman, was rising through the ranks as well as a general counsel and seeking the chairmanship of the party, I think I kind of bucked the trend, and certainly in my county, Philadelphia County, and I supported him because we had a long relationship, a 40-some-year relationship, and I thought he had the leadership to move this party above. And what we did, we teamed up, and he said, look, I want you as part of my team because I know you have leadership. I know that you can engage and have been engaging with millennials and in the Black community and the Hispanic and Asian community and women. And so I want you to be part of that process. And that's kind of how I ended up as the deputy chair of the state party and chairman of the Engagement and Advancement Council across the state. And in fact, I traveled over 20,000 miles around this Commonwealth, looping about 34 counties out of 67 counties, talking to women and millennials and the other affinity groups, African American, Latino, and Hispanic, extolling the virtues of the Republican Party, and for those that non-traditional Republicans looking at the party as an alternative, as a way to drive more support for communities. And I've done that, obviously, you know, in Philadelphia, but, you know, as I travel to smaller counties, mid-sized counties across this Commonwealth. And I learned from them as they learned from me. And not only that, they had an opportunity to see, in some counties may not have a significant number of African Americans or other minority populations. And so they see a Black Republican, and I'm extolling the virtues of the Republican Party. And look, I mean, we have challenges, and sometimes we have differences, but we must come together around a certain set of principles. And I think that's what my leadership has taught me and led me in that direction.
Calvin, as we look ahead, what is it the Republican Party needs to do to continue meeting the needs and goals of the Black community?
Again, let's go back to 2016. Donald Trump, in concert with the RNC and the PAGLP and across the nation, they opened community engagement offices in most of the major cities. And in Philadelphia, as the deputy chair, I oversaw the office opening in Philadelphia as well as in Pittsburgh. And that's engagement directly in the community. And you talk about economic empowerment. And then Donald Trump, in passing his 2017 Tax Cut and Jobs Act, he created the opportunity zones, 8,000 opportunity zones around this country. And in the urban communities, you brought in over $75 billion of private sector investment. That's economic empowerment, jobs, and you created jobs and opportunities. You need to promote, you know, school choice. As I know, the Commonwealth Foundation is a big advocate for that as well, and I support that effort. We need to give the kids in the underserved communities an opportunity, you know, to get that quality education that they may not be getting in public school system. And then when the president, Donald Trump, in 2017, with that same, actually created criminal justice program or reform, right, that all the presidents before and the one president after his 2017 period talked about, but they never were able to do it. And he was able to do a bipartisan criminal justice reform, the First Step Act. And in that First Step Act, which is a federal act, there are small crimes where 91% of the inmates were African Americans, were Black Americans, you know, and so you need to be able to look at that. And he was able to do that. So we need to continue along those lines as well as continue our engagement, whether it's putting physical offices in communities or the one thing that I've done is I bring the leadership into our community. And then leadership in Pennsylvania, like our state treasurer, Stacey Garrity, or our auditor general, Tim DeFore, when attorney general ran way back, Heather Heidelberg. I brought him into the community. I brought, you know, our Supreme Court justice, who then was running for Supreme Court, into the community to talk to folks. And that's how people get to know you. And you define yourself as opposed to having, you know, liberals and Democrats, unions and others define you. You want to define yourself. And I think we do that by continuing to engage along with the other issues that I talked about as well.
Calvin Tucker, author of the book Requiem of a Contrarian, a Black Republican in the Urban Jungle, longtime Republican activist in the city of Philadelphia and across Penn's Woods. Calvin, where can folks find your book if they want to get a copy?
Well, the book is being distributed through Amazon, so you can go to www.amazon.com. If you go to www.amazon.com, in the search engine, you put my name in, Calvin R. Tucker, the book will come up, and you can buy it in three different formats, a Kindle format, you can read online, or you get a paperback or a hard copy. Or you can go to my website, my personal website, www.calvinrtucker.com.
Calvin Tucker. Calvin, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.